This is NBC Nightly News, Tuesday, April 1st, with John Chancellor reporting from the NBC News Center in New York.
Good evening, and my thanks to Tom Brokaw for filling in while I was in the Middle East. During that time, NBC News was engaged in some shuttle journalism. Last week, we interviewed Israeli Prime Minister Rabin, and yesterday, we interviewed Egyptian President Sadat. Both men talked about the breakdown of the Kissinger talks, and we'll have those interviews later in the week. In the news today, the retreat of the South Vietnamese Army before the North Vietnamese Army is now approaching a rout. Within the last 24 hours, the Saigon government has given up two more provinces, Binh Dinh and Khan Hoa, on the South China Sea coast. The North Vietnamese now occupy 15 of South Vietnam's 44 provinces and one-third of the country's land. Today, South Vietnam abandoned Khi Nan, that's the third largest city in the country, and then Nha Trang, to the south. Nha Trang was an important evacuation point for the thousands of refugees fleeing the North Vietnamese advance. Don Oliver was in Nha Trang as the North Vietnamese closed in. Here is his report.
The main hotel in Nha Trang had closed. The owner had fled the city. But at mid-morning, the coastal town did not seem to be in a panic. There was some order among the Vietnamese troops. At the Navy base, sailors watched their families get aboard a landing craft for Saigon. Then the sailors marched back to their base. At the main Nha Trang dock, order had been restored after a night when marauding Vietnamese Marines from Da Nang had robbed civilians and shot them. Bodies along the roadside outside the dock area. There were also nervous South Vietnamese Rangers who demanded to be taken to Saigon, but they still weren't in a panic. Then word spread that the North Vietnamese communist troops had broken through government lines 6 miles from Nha Trang. The panic began. Martial law was declared. At the American consulate, evacuations which had begun the day before were speeded up. Vietnamese were banging on the gates, trying to get out. The convoy of cars heading from the consulate to the airport never got there. They were turned back by soldiers who said they couldn't drive during the martial law.
It is virtually a repeat of Da Nang. Inside the embassy building, they are burning the records and documents that they can't take out with them. Members of the embassy staff are putting pistols inside their briefcases and preparing to move out. They say they are evacuating because the military has lost control of the city.
They began a shuttle by Air America helicopter from the consulate to the airport. At this point, shooting could be heard in the streets. At the Nha Trang airport, the consulate staff was trying to coordinate the evacuation. Most of the people were families of Vietnamese who worked for the American government. They were frightened with good reason. They panicked, rushed the plane, tried to climb into the baggage compartments. There was shooting all around the airport. There were stories that South Vietnamese soldiers had mutinied at the army compound on the far side of the runway. The soldiers here tried to regain order, firing their M16 rifles in the air. As the refugees scrambled to get on board, the Bird Air pilot was sitting in the doorway, grabbing babies and tossing them aboard. Military deserters who tried to fight their way on were thrown off. More than 275 refugees managed to jam their way on board the DC-6. For some reason, the Saigon government had ordered the airport closed, but the plane took off for Saigon anyway. Children without parents, everyone crying, exhausted. As they left the plane in Saigon, the refugees from Nha Trang felt they were the lucky ones, perhaps the last to leave. They believed that Nha Trang would be in enemy hands by morning. Don Oliver, NBC News, Saigon.
Some U.S. Navy ships are standing by off the Vietnamese coast to evacuate refugees where possible, and the Pentagon in Washington announced today that 700 U.S. Marines have been sent from Okinawa to protect those ships. There's an increasing threat to Saigon itself in an arc. North and east of the city, the town of Chon Tan is under siege, and the town of Pan Chet has been given up. In Saigon, the political opposition to President Tu grew greater. Senator Vu Van Mao, a former foreign minister and spokesman for a group of radical Buddhists, called for the immediate resignation of Tu. Mao even cited the resignation of Richard Nixon as a precedent. In other Indochina news tonight, we'll report on the long flight of a huge American cargo plane to resupply the South Vietnamese. We'll have a report on some of the oil price gouging the government has been looking into. And we'll look at this Russian, Anatoly Karpov, who wants the world chess title badly. He could get it from Bobby Fischer at midnight tonight without either man moving a pawn. That story and more when we return.
Do you have anything for headaches?
Yes, take two of these.
Arthritis pain formula. I have a headache, not arthritis.
Doesn't matter. Arthritis pain formula is great for occasional headaches, too. Look at the label.
Also relieves headaches. Must be strong.
You bet it is. APF has more pain reliever in it than most headache tablets. Arthritis pain formula.
Hey, thanks. Arthritis pain formula is great for headaches.
Arthritis pain formula. Great for headaches, too.
What can you do to relieve the pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues? Several outstanding doctors have shown how successful results can be achieved with Preparation H. In many cases, Preparation H gives prompt temporary relief from occasional pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues. Then Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. There's no other formula like Preparation H. Needs no prescription. Doctor tested. Preparation H.
In its headlong retreat, the South Vietnamese Army may have abandoned or destroyed as much as $2 billion worth of military equipment supplied by the United States. That's a Defense Department estimate. Today, the United States began a new resupply effort, flying a huge plane nonstop from California to Saigon with military equipment. Jack Reynolds has more on that story.
The world's largest plane, the U.S. Air Force C-5 Galaxy, arrived at Saigon's Tan Son Nhut Airport shortly after dawn today. It had made a nonstop flight from Travis Air Force Base in California. The plane carried replacement equipment for the hard-pressed South Vietnamese forces. The C-5 can carry 75 tons fully loaded. This flight was only half full. The cargo was mostly 105-millimeter howitzers, 14 of them. The government forces have lost large numbers of these guns during the current offensive. No one knows how many planes, tanks, and guns are now in enemy hands, but the figure is estimated in the tens of millions of dollars. While the unloading went on, the American airlift to Cambodia continued as chartered 707s took off filled with rice. Vietnamese officers and press officials on the scene said that this airlift was a clear demonstration of President Ford's continued support of the South Vietnamese government. The first stop for this artillery will be the Saigon Depot, but according to South Vietnamese military officials, it will be in the hands of Army units this afternoon. Many people here fear that the American airlift, whatever its scope, may be too little and too late. Jack Reynolds, NBC News at Saigon's Tan Son Nhut Airport.
In Palm Springs, California today, White House Press Secretary Ron Nessen reported that President Ford and Secretary of State Kissinger are making diplomatic efforts to get North Vietnam to live up to the Paris Peace Accords, but without any success so far. The president has no intention of cutting short his Palm Springs vacation, despite other bad news he has received about Vietnam. John Cochran has that story.
NBC News has learned that President Ford has received an extremely gloomy report on Vietnam from Pentagon officials. According to Pentagon sources, Saigon could fall within a month. It all depends on how aggressive the North Vietnamese are. At present, communist and South Vietnamese forces are at about equal strength in the southern half of the country. If the North Vietnamese move additional divisions from northern provinces, they would outnumber government troops. That, combined with the shattered morale of President Tu's soldiers,
to bring about the collapse of Saigon. The North Vietnamese still have about 2 months of dry season left in which to maneuver. Pentagon officials do not think more U.S. aid during this period will make much difference, but the president still hopes Congress will pass emergency aid. Because of that, Mr. Ford does not want to anger Congress, and today his press secretary, Ron Nessen, disputed news reports that Mr. Ford blames Congress for the South Vietnamese retreat. Nessen also said the United States is continuing diplomatic initiatives toward peace, but that so far they have failed. John Cochran, NBC News, with the president in Palm Springs, California.
President Lon Nol left Cambodia today. His friends in government wept for him at the airport, and the Cambodian rebels fired rockets within 100 yards of his plane. From Phnom Penh, Nol flew to Utapao in Thailand and then to Jakarta in Indonesia, and from there to rest and sun himself on the island of Bali. Phil Brady reports on the Lon Nol departure.
Practically anyone who was anybody in or out of the government showed up to say farewell. For some time, most of these officials and generals have been privately urging the marshal to step down in the hope that that would end the war. Finally, Lon Nol appeared. He is 61 years old, and he moves slowly because of the effects from a stroke he suffered more than 4 years ago. Normally, he is not a man who shows emotion, at least in public anyway, but today, he cried. His wife accompanied him, and she, too, was in tears. Many felt Lon Nol's biggest failing was his habit of delaying a decision or failing to act until it was too late. And perhaps his departure was another example of this, because although the way now seemed clear for a settlement of the war through talks with the Khmer Rouge, they may no longer feel they have to talk at all, because they now seem on the verge of taking over all of Cambodia with their guns alone. Phil Brady, NBC News, Phnom Penh.
Lon Nol's departure was accompanied by another severe reverse for the Cambodians. Cambodian rebels today entered Nik Long, the last stronghold held by the government on the Mekong River, southeast of Phnom Penh. Northwest of the capital, the insurgents advanced on Battambang in the Cambodian rice country. Following the breakdown of Secretary of State Kissinger's step-by-step diplomacy in the Middle East, Egypt, as expected, today asked formally that the United States and the Soviet Union reconvene the Geneva peace talks.
Have you considered comparing whole wheat total with the leading natural cereals? You'll see there's a big difference. 1 ounce of fortified total gives you 100% of the recommended daily allowance of all these important vitamins and iron. 1 ounce of the leading natural cereals gives you no more than 6%. Check the vitamins and iron listed on the side panels. You'll see 100% versus 6%. That's the total difference.
Everyone's selling shock absorbers.
Hi, I'm selling shock absorbers.
The tie is you, but now let me show you something in a shock absorber.
Say, buddy, shock absorber?
Shocks are too important to buy from just anyone. Come to Midas. We have the right shock absorber for your car. The same reasons you came here for mufflers should bring you here for shocks.
Hi, remember me?
Viva, the towel that's known for its absorbency, is challenging another absorbent paper towel in a different kind of test, scrubbing with an abrasive cleanser.
Okay.
Viva keeps right on working. Viva didn't fall apart. Viva, the absorbent paper towel that keeps on working.
A federal official said today that investigators have uncovered another $500,000 worth of overcharges on fuel oil sold to utility companies. The investigators suspect that utility fuel overcharges alone may total almost $20 million. We have a report tonight from Robert Hager on one way the owners of some oil wells did their price gouging.
Underneath the flat wheat fields of Kansas, there's oil. Hundreds of small wells owned by small producers. And federal investigators believe that in the winter of 1973 and 74, when oil was short, some of the most widespread cheating in the country went on right here. Cheating was possible because of the difference in price between old oil and new oil. The price of old oil, oil from wells drilled more than 2 years ago, is fixed by the government at about $5 a barrel. But the price of new oil from newly drilled wells is not controlled. The well owner can get almost twice as much money if he says his oil is new. If well owners overcharged, then the refineries they dealt with passed along the higher oil prices. And so did retailers. So the cheating may have added significantly to the higher gasoline and oil prices people paid during the oil shortage. The Federal Energy Administration calls its investigation Project Manipulator. The agency has tripled the size of its small office force here in Wichita in the last few weeks. 8 new investigators are going through the records of well owners and refiners. Already one well owner named L.G. Stevenson has agreed to pay back almost $500,000 the investigators claim he overcharged. Now, agents are focusing on suppliers of a large independent pipeline and refining company called Koch Industries. The government believes well owners Koch dealt with may have overcharged as much as $200 million. $200 million. Koch has no comment on the investigation. So far, here and elsewhere, the FEA has accused 11 producers of trying to disguise old oil as new. But this may be only the beginning. There are more than 100 cases still under investigation, and one FEA investigator says the amount of cheating nationwide may have been enormous. Robert Hager, NBC News, Wichita, Kansas.
An Associated Press survey showed today that grocery prices went down in most of the country last month, but the drop in prices does not reflect how much less farmers are getting for what they produce. Most of the decreases at the farm level are not being passed along to consumers. The new tax law, signed reluctantly by President Ford, provides, among other things, that people who buy new houses before the end of the year will get a considerable tax credit. Congress put in that provision in an attempt to get the building industry going again. Fred Briggs has a report.
One of the basic ingredients of the American dream has been owning one's own home. But mortgage rates and housing costs have risen so high, the home building industry has suffered as never before. The tax credit means people will start buying again, and in fact, they already are.
Now, I think this one right here would be good for Jill, sir.
The tax credit applies to newly built housing. A buyer can deduct 5% up to $2,000 from his 1975 income tax. That means anyone buying a new home and paying $40,000 or more can lop $2,000 off his tax bill after the end of the year. It's a direct subsidy for would-be homeowners and an indirect subsidy for home builders. Most of them can use it, especially small companies stuck with homes they can't sell. Bigger companies like this one are happy too, of course, but few builders, large or small, think this will touch off any housing boom.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't see that this would have a very substantial effect long range. I think it's perhaps the pill for the present, but definitely not the cure.
Builders hope that the tax credit, along with falling mortgage rates, will get people into a home buying frame of mind again. A frame of mind that will perhaps endure beyond the expiration of the tax credit. Fred Briggs, NBC News in Orange County, California.
The Commerce Department has some favorable news to report today. The volume of new orders for manufactured goods went up 1.3% in February. That's the first time new orders for manufactured items have gone up in 6 months.
My first Master Charge card.
Congratulations.
You mean now I can walk into almost any store? Total stranger. They don't even know me.
Relax. MasterCharge is good in over 1 million places across the country. More than any other card.
That means I'm good in more places.
Bank says you can handle it.
I qualified.
It's a great feeling when you qualify for a MasterCharge card. It means you can relax.
I love bachelor parties.
The noise, the smoke, the smorgasbord.
Doesn't Snookums like the party?
Time for the old 1-2.
For aches and pains with upset stomach, take Alka-Seltzer. It gives the old 1-2 the old 1-2.
You said you checked for the Alka-Seltzer.
For acid indigestion alone, try Alka-Seltzer Gold without aspirin.
John Connally, Secretary of the Treasury in the Nixon administration and former Democratic governor of Texas, went on trial in Washington today, charged with taking a $10,000 bribe to help a milk producers group. Carl Stern reports.
The man who once seemed destined to be his party's choice for president returned to Washington instead to go on trial. Inside the courtroom, Connally was grim and businesslike. He sat in front of hi-fi equipment to be used to play tape recordings. His lawyer, famed defense counsel Edward Bennett Williams, asked prospective jurors a variety of questions, including whether they had relatives who worked in the milk industry. Assistant Special Prosecutor Frank Turkheimer seemed a little nervous, and his questions were occasionally belittled by Chief Judge George Hart, who himself seemed so concerned about press attention to the case that he would not permit prospective jurors to use their names, only numbers. In the end, however, despite fears that an impartial jury could not be found in Washington, 44 prospective jurors qualified in just 5 hours. The final jury will be chosen tomorrow as the trial gets off to a fast start. This trial has a different feel about it. It is the story of one man's rise and fall and will require the weighing not only of tape recordings, but of a man's character. On that score, Connally is still regarded as so impressive, the courthouse lawyers here think Connally could deal the special prosecutors their first major defeat. Carl Stern, NBC News, Washington.
Bobby Fischer, the world champion chess player, has until midnight tonight to decide whether to abide by the international rules of chess or give up his title and a shot at a purse worth more than $3 million. That's the prize in the world title match scheduled for Manila in June. If Fischer defaults, the title, but not the money, would go to the challenger, Soviet Grandmaster Anatoly Karpov. Here's more on the story from Frank Burkholder.
Until Bobby Fischer came along, chess was a stodgy old game played for stodgy little prizes under stodgy old rules. At this rather important tournament at the Chess Set Club in Hollywood, where Bobby Fischer is often a house guest, by the way, the old rules are in effect. A limited number of games, 1 point for a player if he manages to win a game, half a point for each player if neither can win and the game is a draw. If there were a championship match and the score were tied after all the games had been played, the champion would retain his title. Bobby Fischer vowed long ago to change most of these rules.
First of all, I like to play matches without draws, and I'm going to have to increase the prizes if they want me to play. Once I get the title, they want me to play a match for the title. I'm not going to just play for what their minimum prizes are, that kind of thing.
Well, that was 1971. Bobby Fischer went on to win the world title and then to lay down a whole set of new rules for his first defense, including a rule that drawn games would no longer count. But in so doing, he eliminated the basis for a drawn match and thereby lost the traditional champion's advantage of keeping his title in a drawn match. So Bobby proposed if the score reached a tie of 9-9, let's call that a drawn match. It would be, he said, more fair to the challenger than the old rules. But the Russians said no, and convinced the World Chess Federation to reject it on behalf of their young challenger, 23-year-old Anatoly Karpov, seen here winning his elimination match in Moscow. On that 1 point, Fischer decided to forfeit the title rather than play. The $5 million purse, down the drain. Barring a very unlikely last-minute change of heart by Fischer, Anatoly Karpov becomes the new champion by default. Frank Burkholder, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Glenn, hurry home. Don't forget Grandma's coming.
To make exciting desserts on a budget, start with Jell-O brand gelatin, like Roberta Hines of California.
Glenn's getting his Cub Scout award tonight, so I'm fixing a Jell-O gelatin dessert that he really loves.
Just stick in Jell-O gelatin and pour into a loaf pan.
then topping into the remaining gelatin. Then layer the mixture with crushed chocolate cookies. Chill and then mold.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Look for Mrs. Hines' recipe in April Women's magazines and start with Jell-O gelatin.
Rust. It's an inside job. It starts inside a car's hidden, boxed-in areas. Z-Bart rust proofing is an inside job, too. Patented Z-Bart tools get inside these boxed-in areas. Protect your expensive automotive investment with real Z-Bart rust proofing. Available only from your local Z-Bart dealer. Z-Bart. It's us or rust.
For almost a month now, the South Vietnamese Army has been in retreat, and along with it, hundreds of thousands of refugees, bewildered or frightened or despairing. We've shown you some of those refugees at Da Nang, at Hue, at Nha Trang, in Saigon. Tonight, from Nha Trang, Don Oliver brings us another vignette of a refugee in the midst of a terrifying confusion.
The families of South Vietnamese sailors lined up on the beach at Nha Trang, waiting for a landing craft to take them to safety as communist troops approached the city. This landing craft was filled. The doors were opened one more time, but a soldier inside, with a gun, refused to let any more refugees on board. Just as the ship was leaving, a woman rushed up with a two-week-old baby. The baby's mother, she said, was on board. The child had been left behind. A bucket was lowered. The baby made it safely on board the ship. But then, just as the ship was heading out, the mother appeared on shore. There had been a mix-up. She'd never been on the boat at all. With reluctance, the transfer was made again. The Vietnamese woman had her baby back, but the family had an uncertain future as the communist troops closed in on the city. Don Oliver, NBC News, Nha Trang.
And good night for NBC News.